You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
What the Folklore
93. Hold on. I have an idea.
Yeah?
Let's kick back this time.
Kick back?
Yeah.
I mean, not do an episode?
Well, for the intro at least, let's let the listener do it.
Well, that'll be a fun game that they can play at home. We're going to insert like 2 minutes of silence. You just fill in whatever you want for this part.
Not even silence. We'll just sit here and like cheer you on. Like, oh, good job. You got it. You named all three of us right.
It's a quiz show segment. What's the name of this podcast? You got it.
Yay!
Who are we? You got it.
Yay!
What are we going to talk about?
Boo.
Ooh, that was not right. That was definitely not right.
Whoa. Whoa.
Where did you get that from?
Do you need to talk to somebody?
I was going to say, do you see Marc Maron here? But I don't know if those two things mesh together.
What?
Look, obviously you can't be trusted to run this intro properly, listener.
Go back to Night Vale.
That's a little bit of an insensitive topic. We're gonna take the reins back.
So instead, we, who you correctly named,
flew too close to the sun,
as Gordy, Tyler, and Carmen, are going to be reading a folk tale from somewhere in the world. Gordy and Tyler have not heard this tale before, so they are naturally aghast.
We are but baby birds. Beckoning for sustenance.
I am vomiting folklore nonsense into their gullets.
Here's the thing about folklore. Most of it is not Disney. Most of it is not stories that make sense. A lot of people, with very little oversight, wrote down a whole bunch of words. And they're not good. They don't make a lot of sense. They don't necessarily have good morals. And we are going to answer the question, or attempt to, why did they write this down, and why are people still talking about it?
We have taken it upon ourselves to take each and every one of them to task, and you are along for the ride.
To put them on trial, like the Q Continuum did at the beginning of Star Trek Generation to the human race.
We haven't actually really answered the question of why did people write this down for a while.
Yeah, we could.
Oops.
We might not do that.
Yeah, mostly we've been weaving them all together into one big, disgusting mega-tale that will one day eat the universe.
We're trying to redeem
them. Swallow the sun.
Because they didn't start off with any narrative value, but we're trying to give it to them.
We already have some favorite recurring characters.
But we'll talk about that. The nuts and bolts is we're going to read a weird fairy tale, and then we're going to discuss why it's a thing, and why it's been around so long, and we're going to make it better.
So you guys have been deciding upon these fairy tales through various nonsensical means.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a gauntlet for this one picked out?
Do you have three options?
Yes.
I mean, I have one. It's not good.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's not interesting.
Let me see if I can brainstorm.
Do you want to throw yours out so that Gordy knows what to avoid?
What are the chances they're going to overlap? if they do, it's the right method.
Clearly.
I don't have a good one either. I was going to say which one is closest to Kazakhstan.
Hold on. I can't believe I didn't think of this before.
Yeah?
Let's let our listeners decide.
Sure. I mean, we do that by having an email address that they can send us story suggestions.
Yeah, but that's boring. That's them specifically picking.
You want to put it on Twitter?
That's them curating. No, no Twitter. Right now. Live.
Yeah.
Read the options and we'll let them decide.
Okay. Option one from Grimm is Thumbling as Journeyman.
Ooh. That one's come up before. That could be a good one.
Option two from Hungary is The Wishes. And option three from Spain is The Princess Bellaflor. don't think we've actually read that one, have we?
Not that I remember.
It's just come up. Okay. So the Princess Bellaflor, the Wishes, and Thumbling is Journeyman.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get started.
Take it, this means I'm picking.
The listeners have decided.
All right, Princess Bellaflor it is.
I don't think that's what they said. You might have misheard them. I think they wanted to find out what happens to Thumbsman.
But think about it, guys. The ones that did pick that one, their minds are blown right now. The other ones, f*** them. Who cares about them? They're not true fans.
They picked it wrong.
So which one are... I was not paying attention during the vote, so which one are...
The Bellaflor.
Okay.
Thumble Journey. What?
I think you two need a thumb war.
We need to do a recount.
Okay, let's do a recount.
What are we actually reading?
I don't care.
I kind of want to do the thumb one. Do you have a preference?
No.
I want to do the thumb one.
Okay.
I'm curious to connect some dots.
Alright, we did the recount, and even though Bellaflor won the electoral vote...
Overturned!
Journeyman did win the popular vote by...
Wisconsin came through.
It's Wisconsin.
Man, watch this be another incident where we have accidentally predicted the future.
Yeah, what do you think I'm trying to do?
Because we accidentally did that with the dictators...
Yeah, we killed Castro. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Whoops.
One.
Whoops.
Yeah, what?
Our last episode, we chose the story based on what would you read a dictator at bedtime, and then, like...
And then we gave one an eternal bedtime.
Yeah. Whoops. So,
So, it's been decided. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for the thousands of you who voted.
Illegally.
Yeah, we subtracted the millions of dead people who voted. Nice try.
Okay, so this one, just like our last Thumbling Tale, is Arne Thompson Type 700, Tom Thumb.
Does it prominently feature Steve Odekirk?
Steve Odekirk?
Yeah.
Can't give you spoilers. This is grim number 45.
What's the other guy? Bob Odenkirk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got them confused for a second. It was a really weird switch.
Alright, you guys ready?
Yes.
Go back to Thumbland. Let's read a story.
About a human thumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright, Thumble Journey, round two.
This is about an anthropomorphic thumb, right?
If you would like to view him as that, as such, I cannot stop you.
That's the starting image I have in my head.
Alright, it's a thumb and a hat.
What's that? What hat?
Trilby?
Bowler?
Robin Hood.
Pork pie? What's that called, the
pork pie hat?
No, Robin Hood.
I have no idea.
Robin Hood hat?
Yankee Doodle?
Alright.
It's one you can make out of a newspaper.
Guys, we haven't gotten to the first sentence yet. A tailor had a son who happened to be smaller than a thumb, and so he called him Thumbling.
Was a thumb.
Thumbling was pretty courageous, and one day he tells his father that he is going out into the world. That's right, my son, says the old man, who I guess was waiting for this day to come. And the man gives him a...
Yep. You do it, little one.
Please get out of here. I'm so afraid of stepping on you. And your mother's apparently not in the picture, so I'm sick of also being the only one to care for you. The old man gives him a darning needle with a knob of sealing wax on it, and that's his sword. Thumbling says he wants one more meal with his family before leaving, so he asks his mother, so yes, she does exist.
A last meal before they turn him out to die?
Yeah, well, he's turning himself out, so...
Well, still.
He's like a true college student. He wants his independence, but he also wants...
He also cannot provide for himself.
Right. He wants his free meat and vegetables. So he wants one more meal with the family, so he asks his mother what they're having for dinner, because the food was just being dished up on the hearth. Mother says that he needs to go look for himself, so he jumps onto the hearth to see, but as he peered into the dish, the steam caught hold of him and carried him up the chimney.
And he died, and that was it.
Apparently he's got hollow bones like a bird.
He's got avian... What's it called?
Flu.
No, there's a term for that. Is it avian bone syndrome? Hollow bones? Isn't that a real thing?
I don't know. Is it in humans?
I'm not sure it's one you can survive very long. You kind of need that sweet, sweet marrow.
You'd pump it in from... we'll call them donors.
Osteogenesis imperfecta.
Hollow bone syndrome. No, that's wrong. Avian bone syndrome. I was right. There's a guy living in New Zealand with it. He's 90, so take that.
Made it quite a ways.
Yeah, it's tough Kiwis. Okay. Well, he's got that. He was just kind of a, like, that's a fun angle, right? Sure. Now he's got a rare disease.
Don't think avian bone syndrome exists.
It's real.
Osteogenesis imperfecta is real, and that causes the bone brittleness.
I saw it on Google.
Was it the first result when you typed in avian bone syndrome?
I didn't type in avian bone syndrome. I Googled hollow bones, and that came out. And I'm going to believe it. We live in post-factual America.
Well, when you type in avian bone syndrome, first one is avianbonesyndromeabout.com or .com/about, which talks about how it's not real. The second one is osteogenesis imperfecta on Wikipedia.
Is that the purpose that website serves?
And the third is corporate crush.
avianbonesyndrome.com. Does it exist? Nah.
To debunk the myth of hollow bones.
The third is Corporate Crush, the 19th episode of the first season of the American television series, .. I don't know, probably something weird.
Okay, well, I'm not that invested in it.
30 Rock. All right, that's it.
Yep.
That's where that came from.
Yep.
Phoebe.
Yep, Jack marries her, or almost marries her.
So, he rides around on the steam until... He finds himself sinking to the ground in the wide world outside of his family's house.
Was he enjoying it?
I guess.
Or was he screaming the whole time?
It does not specify, so what do you think?
Does his family look for him?
They may have just given up on him entirely.
They may not have noticed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he was screaming...
Oh, he would have signaled that something was wrong?
Yeah, you'd think, anyway.
Yeah, they're not actively hunting him down.
So he probably thought it was fun.
Yeah.
His bone density must be close to nothing.
I think his all density is close to nothing.
Maybe he lost a lot of weight and he's got a lot of extra skin to get caught by the steam.
He's like a flying squirrel. Yeah.
He's like a fleshy flying squirrel.
So Thumbling wanders about and finds a master in his craft. Not sure what craft that is, but the food at this place is not good enough for him.
What? Wait, what? This has got extremely vague.
Yes.
What? Okay, if they're not going to give us something, what kind of craft do we think it is?
Is this a dream someone had that they just retold? It made sense at the time.
It has kind of the cadence of a dream. You skip around a lot.
You flew on the steam, met a craftsman... Didn't like the food.
Is the craftsman, does he work in the food industry?
Does he work in the craft industry?
Because if not, I think his expectations might be too high.
Is he a powdered cheese smith?
A fake cheese smith? Like artificial cheeses?
Yeah, for the craft family of products.
That makes a lot of sense. Because I think Kraft got their start around this time.
Yeah, and were despised by tiny borrower people.
Okay, the original sentence reads, "Now the little tailor was outside in the wide world, and he traveled about, and went to a master in his craft, but the food was not good enough for him."
He gets to keep the title tailor?
Hmm?
He's not a tailor, he's a thumb.
Yeah, apparently when you're the son of a tailor, you're just a littler tailor. I don't know. Maybe he got taught the craft.
How?
He's one finger. He can't...
He's the most important finger, though.
He can't do it. He had to hug his dad's hand really hard. And then he could help a little bit. But not that much.
He then threatens the mistress of this house that if she doesn't provide better food, he's going to go away.
He was not invited to begin with, was he?
I don't think so. But then he's going to come back in the morning to write on their door in chalk, "Too many potatoes, too little meat, farewell Mr. Potato King." What? With a question mark.
What?
I now have the original story out with me to make sure that I wasn't drunk when I wrote these notes.
Farewell, Mr. Potato King.
There is a question mark on that sentence. Farewell, Mr. Potato King? This is a sick prank.
It's like the end of a video game where it's like the end and then the question mark comes down.
So he's threatening a bad Yelp review.
Yes.
On their door.
In chalk. Which you might note is easy to wipe away.
Yeah. Or blow away.
A bad Yelp review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
What?
Can't get rid of bad Yelp reviews that easily.
You if can they're made if from they're chalk. Written in chalk on
oh,
your door.
Well, that's why they moved away from that model.
Yeah.
The first
and
Yelp
made them permanent.
The first Yelp app, they would just mail you a small chalkboard and you had to write down your review and mail it back to HQ. We've come a long way since then. I think the internet's getting pretty good too.
It's pretty
good. That might take off soon.
Yeah, it was cool when the internet was just chalkboards that you threw at each other.
But... When do you think the internet will replace chalk?
2020?
Oh, I don't think it's ever going to 100% happen because, I mean, can you ever replace the smell of a chalkboard? Or the
yes,
squeak,
gladly.
The squeak of that chalk?
Mm.
I want to hear the squeak of a browser window.
You have no soul.
You should... Yeah, is that a Chrome theme yet?
Chalkboard? It's a Pinterest theme.
Just,
I mean, or
like
might as
old,
well be.
Like, all the noises.
If you think about it, it's probably headed that way, because I know you two probably don't Pinterest all that often, but about half of it now is things that you can turn into chalkboards with chalkboard paint.
What is chalkboard paint?
It's paint that you paint on something to make it into a chalkboard.
Chalkable.
So, like, I was looking...
Is that what a chalkboard is?
Yeah.
That's just paint?
I think so, maybe.
Not dry erase paint?
No.
Is that old hat already?
Dry erase boards also have no soul.
Are they not naturally occurring?
Are what you want for that rustic feel. Like, I was looking up ornaments that kids could make for my job.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was also how to put chalkboard paint on a wood disc and hang it on your tree.
Question.
So, we're moving back around.
Is cement chalkboard paint?
No.
People chalk it, though.
I mean, yes.
Is billiards cue stick chalkboard paint? People put chalk on it.
I'm pretty sure it's a naturally occurring thing. You find it in the ground like that.
I mean, chalk you do. Chalkboard paint is just
But they usually find chalkboard mines near chalk mines. Because it's how that industry got set up. They dug the chalk mine, and then nearby, like, oh, this is what we can write on with this chalk. And then the first schoolhouse was founded.
On top of the mine.
That's one
directly above it.
Yep. And then 100 years later, they were desegregated. In Brown v. Board of Education, 1954. And that's the history of America.
So this Yelp review.
What's wrong with you today?
History's important to know.
and reflect upon.
I don't think you should lay down on the couch when we're doing this.
It's late.
Your subconscious starts... doing dream talk.
Look,
does he have chalk? Where's
not,
he gonna get this chalk?
He doesn't have it yet. He's just threatening to
it's
acquire
an empty
it.
Threat.
Yeah,
I don't care for him.
I don't think. Did he have it written down?
He's got no bite to go with his bark.
If he didn't have it written down on his character sheet already, he can't do it.
I don't respect this man.
All right. Well, when he threatens the chalk Yelp review, the mistress gets angry and shouts, "What would you have, grasshopper?" And grabs her dishcloth to strike him. But he creeps nimbly under a thimble.
She's gonna rat tail him to death.
Yep. So he's hiding under a thimble. And then he peeps out and sticks his tongue out at her. He's the worst house guest.
I think if you are the size of a thumb, you need to be able to make good on your threats. Because that's pretty much all you've got.
Yeah, kind of. At that point, you really shouldn't be talking big, is what you're saying.
Unless you can definitely follow through with it.
Right.
She grabs the thimble to try to get a hold of him, but Thumbling hops onto the cloth and then into a crevice in the table. He continues teasing her until she finally catches him and sends him out of the house.
Leave our house!
Small man we fed.
We don't want you here. We're trying to be master craftsmen.
I'm sorry we can't afford a bunch of beef for you.
Of blank profession. We love our potatoes.
I like how in Shadow of the Colossus, if you don't kill one of the bosses and they catch you, they put you outside. They don't hurt you.
They feed you potatoes and send you on your way.
Yeah, they give you a less than adequate meal and put you outside. Kind of took a little bit of the experience away from that game. I'm forced to give it like 5 out of 10.
I feel the exact opposite because everything is improved by potatoes.
Words of wisdom. So Thumbling journeys on and comes to a forest where he falls in with a band of robbers, which apparently is just what you do when you're the size of a thumb.
It's pretty cool.
They wanted to steal the king's treasure, and they wanted to use Thumbling as a lockpick.
Who? King who?
Just the king.
King whoever.
The one whoever's nearby. Handy.
Also, you said what now?
They wanted to use Thumbling as a lockpick.
They wanted to jam him into locks.
That's a good distinction to make. Do they want him to serve as their pin?
As the
or
tool?
Are they just going to cram him in there and hope that he can figure it out?
I think he's the one who's just supposed to pick the lock.
Yeah, but with his fingers?
Maybe. I don't know.
His tiny, tiny, nimble fingers.
Maybe it counts as lock picking if you just slide under the door and then unlock the deadbolt from the other side.
What if it's a big bolt that he can't lift?
What if he slides under the door and insults the king's potatoes? So then the king takes him outside, thus opening the door for robbers to run inside and ransack the place.
Steal all his potatoes and gold.
Whatever works.
That counts as an invitation, right? The king just opens the door in front of you.
Yeah.
That means come on in and steal.
You're bound by guest right.
That's why I never answer the door when someone knocks at our apartment.
I never answer the door.
After some reflection, Thumbling agrees to go along with them to the treasure chamber.
Some reflection?
Yeah, he thinks about it for a bit. Not just gonna hop in on a robbery without...
He hopped into the gang!
Yeah, well,
without thinking about it.
That's just about having friends.
Yeah, this is another scenario where he got into something, but he cannot follow through. He joined this gang of robbers, but... I mean, I guess he's going along with it, but he almost chickened out of doing the robbing.
Does he have tiny candy cigarettes?
Sure.
And a greaser jacket made from someone else's shoulder pad.
He also snaps his tiny fingers a lot. When they get there, he finds a door he can slip into, but one of the sentries sees him and says to the other sentry that he is an ugly spider, and the sentry intends to kill it. The other sentry says, no, it hasn't hurt you, and Thumbling makes it through to the treasure chamber door unimpinged.
Glad that scene happened.
Well, now we know we have a pacifist sentry who loves spiders.
Yeah, I'm glad we know it. World building.
It's like the Metal Gear Solid guards.
This place is alive and breathing. These people have hopes and dreams.
So once he's in the treasure chamber, he opens the window under which the robbers are standing. It's gotta be a small window, or he just got beefy somehow.
Maybe he figured out how like cantilevers and physics work.
Sure.
And he rigged up something.
Doesn't say specifically how he opened it, right?
He made a Rube Goldberg machine.
Could have just smashed it open also.
With a gun?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He just butted it with a pistol.
And then he's throwing them the money one piece at a time. He hears the king coming to inspect the treasure, because the king can't go 5 minutes without checking on his treasure.
I have the sneaking suspicion that I'm exactly 5 coins short in the treasury.
And he hides, and the king comes in and notices several solid thalers missing. These are some silver coins. But he couldn't conceive how they'd been stolen because the locks and bolts were fine and guarded.
And the window was open.
As he left it.
Yep. As he always leaves it.
So the coins could breathe.
He wants them exposed to fine fresh air so that they don't get too close in there. The king goes away and tells the sentries to keep an eye out. Someone is after his money. I don't know if he went in there and, like, Scrooge McDuck counted it all up.
He swam in it. He licked every single one.
Or if he's really good at just eyeballing his treasure and it's like five things are gone.
He put a different kind of perfume on each coin. And he can smell which ones are missing.
But no, one thing about kings is that they can smell the absence of coins.
They're like bloodhounds for missing money.
It's a very good technique that works for all kinds of things. Playing cards, for example.
Daughters.
That was a real part of that show.
Spiders are stealing his money.
Yep. Thumbling resumes his work, and the guards hear the clinking of the coins, and they rush in to catch the thief. Thumbling, however, is faster at hiding, but also takes the opportunity to mock the sentries by shouting, "Ho ho, here I am," running around and hiding and making fools of them.
I do like the idea of a very, very small man who pops out, makes obscene gestures, and then hides
again. He's just an asshole.
Like he's a total dick to everybody, even though he is extremely vulnerable.
The sentries eventually get tired and go away.
Why don't more robbers try that?
These are Metal Gear Solid guards. Eventually they just give up.
The Skyrim guards with an arrow sticking out of their forehead who just walk away. Like, I guess there's no one here.
Why haven't robbers tried to just tucker out guards until they wander off?
After they go away, he succeeds in throwing all of the money out, then jumps out himself to be caught by the robbers who offer to make him their captain.
Do you do it coin by coin?
Yes. So it took him a while.
The entire treasury.
Unless this treasury was not actually full of that much money, and that's how the king could tell by sight like five coins were missing.
Well, if that's
true... The king is going paycheck to paycheck.
If that's true, this is not a good target for a robbery.
The king has been keeping up with the cons a little too hard.
If it's not true, this cannot be the best version of this plan. There must exist a better plan where the robbers own a ladder and can get to the window.
What floor is it on?
One.
Is it the first?
Maybe. they're... Doesn't really specify.
Is it ground floor?
It sounds like it.
So that significantly improves this visual in my mind of these guards trying to chase this tiny man while like three or four robbers are just standing outside a window on the ground floor
watching,
staring, waiting for more coins to come.
I mean, when you're done tuckering those guys out,
yeah,
we're here.
So the guards get tired and they just shake their fists at the robbers outside the window and then leave. Oh, go about your dirty work.
We're too tired to stop any of you. We're gonna go get Starbucks and a nap.
If the robbers declared base somewhere, then it's all over.
It's smart of them to define the window as base.
Yeah, it's a very good strategy.
They are castle guards.
Yeah, they're sentries.
So their jurisdiction isn't outside of window.
Okay, that's fair.
That's true.
So they
amnesty.
They offer to make him their captain, and he says, "No thanks, I want to go see the world first." So they split the treasure, but Thumbling only takes a cruiser because he can't carry any more than that.
Takes a what?
A cruiser.
A what?
It's a...
A what?
Define this coin. I think it's like a bronze coin.
It's a Cougaran.
Silver coin existing in the southern German states prior to the unification of Germany.
I really wish it was something else.
Oh, sorry. He's still on his own two feet.
Cannot carry more.
Can't carry any more than one coin.
Spent the whole day moving coins from inside to outside. Takes one for his trouble.
Well, he could only move them one at a time. And he doesn't have a small wheelbarrow.
Why did he do any of it?
I don't know. Shiggles.
The stories.
Why did he terrorize a nice couple who fed a stranger who wandered into their home?
Why does anyone on Yelp use Yelp? They're all just jerks.
He then buckles on his sword, says farewell, and heads out. He goes to work with some masters of something, but he didn't like it. So he hires himself out as a manservant in an inn.
What kind of manservant?
Chippendale?
Yes. The maids, however, hated him. Because...
People seem to.
Because he spied on them.
He has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
And he told the master and mistress when they secreted food away for themselves.
He's a snitch, too.
What is his moral compass? He robbed a kingdom. And then snitches on maids when they steal, like, a snack?
Yeah, like, I would like to eat a little bit of this bread that these people sent back with their meal.
Is he a lawful evil or a chaotic evil character?
Yeah, definitely.
He seems to be. His code is hard to pin down.
Whatever he gets his jollies.
The maids decide to get back at him and plot a trick to play on him.
Gonna bake him into a pie.
Smush.
One of the maids.
Dictionary.
Large, substantial book.
Or just butt. Just sit on him.
Goblet.
Just call it an accident. No one would ever know.
One of the maids was mowing in the garden, and she saw Thumbling jumping and creeping among the plants, making sure she didn't steal a strawberry. And she mowed him up quickly with the grass and tied him and the grass in a cloth and threw it to the cows.
I was going to say to put him in a horse's butthole. But this is close enough.
We'll get there.
What did horses ever do to you?
Nothing. I'm trying to give him a good time.
Just have a concerned look for you. I have nothing else to give.
That's... Never mind.
A great black cow swallowed him whole without hurting him. But he didn't like the stomach because it was dark.
He doesn't like anything, though.
I don't care!
You can't spy on anyone here.
He has not yet liked a single thing.
He tells me this stuff that he doesn't like. I don't care. You're a jerk.
When the cow was being milked, he called out, "Strip, strap, stroll. Will the pail still soon be full?"
From the udder? Through the little hole?
I guess. I don't know how this works. But the milking was too loud to hear. The master comes out and says, "This cow's going to be killed tomorrow." And Thundling shouts, "Let me out first, for I am shut up inside her." The master heard him, but couldn't figure out where the voice was coming from, so he asks, "Where art thou?" And Thundling says, "In the black one." But the master didn't understand and left.
too hard. Too hard to figure out.
This does seem like AI that's just breaking.
Like, everybody in this story is a poorly scripted NPC.
Can't compute these events. Gonna turn around and try again.
Yeah, this particular fairy tale was programmed by Bethesda. The next morning, the cow was killed, but Thumbling was lucky not to meet with any of the blows, and he got out among the sausage meat.
Any of the blows? Are they punching it in the stomach until it dies?
Is it Fight Club?
He's in the stomach, right?
Everyone just has a hatchet and they're just hacking at it.
That's not...
It's a whole farm event. Look,
if you're going to do it, if you are going to slaughter a cow... There's a right way and a wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, you go off the top rope. slam down on it.
You gotta do it in one body slam. one clean hit. You don't bludgeon it slowly.
The butcher came in to begin working, and Thumbling cries out, "Don't chop too deep, don't chop too deep. I am amongst it." But the knife was too loud to be heard for him to be heard. Now he was in trouble, but trouble sharpens the wits, and he sprang out adroitly between the blows so that none touched them. None touched him. He still could not get away, and he had to let himself be thrust into a black pudding with the bits of bacon. He was cramped in there, and he hung up in a chimney to be smoked, so it was not fun for him at all.
How is he stuck?
I don't know. I guess he's maybe
they
like...
They minced the meat.
Yeah, I guess he's maybe like dancing between the knives, but didn't get out of the meat. And then they scooped him up and put him to be smoked.
Yeah.
With bacon.
So they're going to eat him. Their final revenge.
In the winter. So he's up there for a while.
No. He would eat his way out.
He's taken down again and set before a guest as black pudding. Which is actually really good. You should eat it at some point.
They have men in them.
When the hostess was cutting the slices, he took care not to stretch out his head too far until he saw his opportunity at last and jumped out.
Yeah.
How months have gone by.
Yeah.
He has not atrophied in any way, hanging in sausage.
He's been slowly eating it. He has food.
He has no air in there.
But he doesn't have a turlet. This is a very big problem. How's he gonna keep it separate?
Well, I mean, he can't move.
I know.
The front part's the good part. And he's not gonna turn around, so.
The front part of what?
The sausage that he's stuck in.
The face side.
He just opens and closes his mouth for food.
Yeah.
And then he shits out the rest.
Just constantly over a period of months.
Maybe it helps to propel him forward.
His
kinda,
swim bladder.
He's kind of rebuilding the sausage behind him.
It's his sausage bladder.
What's a swim bladder?
It's the organ that lets fish decide how where they want to be in the ocean.
No, I want Google to tell me.
Okay, sorry, Gordy. Sorry, I can't be Google for you.
Swim bladder. That sounds like a funny thing. The swim bladder, gas bladder, fish maw, or air bladder. Okay, yeah, it helps them control their buoyancy.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that.
Science. As only a robot can provide.
The magic world of nature.
The little tailor wouldn't stay any longer in a house where he had had so many bad experiences. But soon after...
No one asked him to be there.
I don't know. But soon after resuming his journey, he gets snapped up by a fox.
Cool. Is he eaten again?
He manages to get stuck in the fox's throat and tells the fox that he is stuck and demands to be free.
This story is just ancient vor.
Yeah, maybe.
That's all this was, right?
As some complete jackass.
You can't learn lessons from this.
Wanted to be eaten by so many things.
Yeah.
And also steal the king's money and then wrote himself in as a tiny man who gets eaten. The fox says that he'll let him free if he promises all the fowls in his father's yard. Thumbling promises, the fox releases him and very kindly carries him home. His father willingly gives the fox all the fowls he has, and Thumbling gives his father the one coin that he got from all his journey.
Oh, it was a good one.
And then...
Can you imagine that? Your son, who has been gone for months... shows up with basically a gang member who says, your son owes me all your shit. I'll be leaving with it now. And the son's like, sorry, Dad. Here's a coin.
This is what I have.
It's not even a gold coin.
I shit my way to freedom from a sausage.
I haven't changed my clothes, so there's sausage and poop all over them.
Mom, where's the potatoes?
Not the potatoes. He wants meat. He was mad because there were too many potatoes.
Well, too many potatoes. I assume he likes some potatoes. His mom's potatoes. They're scalloped.
Is there a wrong way to do a potato?
Not to my knowledge.
Au gratin. I don't like au gratin.
You don't like it?
Get out of here.
Any potato is a good potato. Raw?
It's not great. I did have to eat a raw potato for the Fat Man show.
Oh, I had to eat one to survive. That's a story for another time. Might be a lie.
Thumbling asks his father, but why did the fox get the poor chickens to eat? And his father replies, oh, you goose, your father... Wait, maybe this isn't him saying this. Let me check the original source. This does not attribute these, so this might be a theorized audience thing. But the last line is, "Oh, you goose, your father would surely love his child far more than all the fowls in the yard." The end.
That's what? The end.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's it.
Okay.
Guys.
God damn it.
What? I mean, I thought he was going to, like, murder the fox somehow.
Cool. Well.
But he didn't.
Well.
Fox has a larder.
Well.
Want to discuss?
Yep.
So this is a story that parents would tell to the child they hated most, right?
I don't... If you did that, wouldn't you be setting that child up for a life of hoodlumery? He's not a good role model.
Right. He's not the hero.
This is the one that you'd tell your child who's meek and keeps getting beaten up on the playground.
You don't want them to emulate this tiny man.
No, you're demonizing other children.
You're showing them, like, this is what you do to me. You've ruined my life.
This is how I feel when I look at you.
You're nasty and crude to guests. You shit everywhere. You've ruined my business.
Your uncontrollable bowel syndrome is no excuse.
We are destitute thanks to you and your birth.
You but were an accident.
I mean, we listen to it, and we think, obviously this guy is an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is presented as the hero in the story.
Why, though?
He's the protagonist.
He doesn't do a good thing.
No, he doesn't. He's not a good protagonist, and he's not a good hero, and he's not a good person at all.
He does all bad things.
But, like, if you were a kid, and your moral compass is not yet fully functioning, because when you're a kid, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you read this, you just kind of assume your main character... You haven't heard of an anti-hero. You just kind of assume the main character is kind of the...
You haven't read Punisher yet.
The good guy. And at the end, kind of the moral of the story is, Dad loves you more than chickens.
Dad loves you anyway, despite all the nasty, horrible things you do.
Which... I guess it's kind of a positive message.
Sure.
If you boil it down to, like, even... I mean, it's the prodigal son. Like, even though, like, you done goofed up, and...
It's not goofing, Gordy. It's not goofing.
Well...
It is...
When you shit your way out of a sausage because it is criminal activity.
Well, yeah... Okay, you didn't do great out there,
son. He robs his way across the kingdom and back.
Son, this is not what your mother and I hoped for you. You didn't do great out there, and for your crimes, you didn't make that much money. But we're still glad to see you.
Also, in regards to that, he was carrying that coin the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
While he was in a sausage,
yeah,
and a cow, and a fox.
Yeah. If
he's the size of a thumb,
yeah,
what size coin do we think we're dealing with? Because I always imagine, like a big metal fantasy coin, like the kind you can smack down,
yeah,
on a tavern counter.
Right.
And get,
you can bite right into it, and it's not going to bend.
And you get, like, a room and a horse... And a shave, and a drink, and a meal.
And a bath.
And a bath, and a servant. For the one coin.
And you get to take it with you, the servant.
Yeah.
You're yours for life.
Fantasy money's the best money.
Yeah.
This is a silver coin. I'm going to look into that a little bit more and see, like, its and relative then, value among the and, coins. Well,
My question is, how big is it versus his body? Because if you're thumb-sized, your tiny little pockets are smaller than coin size. You're not going to be able to, like, get a penny down there.
Did he use it like a unicycle?
Either that, or maybe he just strapped it onto his back like a Ninja Turtle.
Could be.
Maybe he enchanted it, and he used it as Tensor's floating disc.
One golden coin was worth 60 kreuzer.
And he has one of those.
He has one cruiser.
So it's worth what?
1/60th of a gulden.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Or 240 finning.
And what's that worth?
Nothing.
Give it to me in something I understand.
I am trying to figure this out.
I need a point of comparison.
Well, you know what gold is, right?
I know what gold is.
It's worth 60 of them.
But, like, what can you buy with one of those?
After 1760, it was made of copper. But this is before that, because it is specifically silver.
What do you get for that? For one of the coins he has? This story seems to think that it makes up for the loss of all of these fowl.
What's the price of milk?
That's how you tell. It's going to be something crazy, like $8 a gallon. Just living in an apocalyptic society. Where milk costs more than it probably already does. I honestly don't know how much milk costs. I don't buy it. Can't drink it. It's poisonous and racist.
A cruiser nowadays is like $17 to $30 on eBay.
Okay. Maybe he got like a rare misprint that was worth a lot. You know, like it was a collector's coin. Maybe they robbed the king's antique collection.
That's what it looks like.
Okay. So how big do you think that is? Like, bigger than a quarter?
So you're saying he could help save Weird Al's TV studio?
Yeah.
With his coin.
I'm saying he'd have to carry that with his arms outstretched.
Yes.
To get around. I think they robbed the king's antique coin collection. which explains why there weren't that many of them to begin with. But it's also worth robbing. This was a rare coin with... Maybe they printed the wrong monarch on it.
Well, this eBay listing for an 1859 cruiser coin says that it fits in a U.S. penny coin holder.
What?
It's penny-sized.
Okay, so it's maybe the size of his head?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what?
He could carry more than one of those.
You know what, Story? You got me on that front. That's believable.
But also, you can carry a couple things the size of your head.
Sure.
Yes.
Not in pockets, but...
Like a hefty wheel of cheese.
But you would think this king would have money in other...
Places?
Denominations. He would probably have the goldens.
He is a king. Yeah. I would hope so.
Or gemstones that are worth a lot of cruisers.
Bonds. Stock. Things, IOUs.
Things with a high value to weight ratio.
I have a question for either of you. We gave flack to everyone who got tired of his antics and gave up and walked away. But in that scenario, what would either of you have done?
In which scenario?
Given a scenario where you are tasked with watching the king's treasury and did they ever see him? Or they just knew that a presence was there?
They did see him. They thought he was an ugly spider.
I saw him once.
That was before he got in the room.
It's not clear if they saw him when he was teasing.
Right. But they could hear him.
Right.
And were aware that he was there. Given all that information, what would you as a guard do?
Probably just sit in the room and stop trying to chase him, but also just be there so that he can't keep stealing things.
I mean, if you're in the room with the coins and you see them, you just get a glass and a napkin and you just take him outside again.
Yes, no, close the window.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy way to do it. What if they just put the lock at the top of the window? Like, this guy is not all powerful.
No, he's not at all powerful. He has zero power.
He's maybe lucky.
He has the power of assholery, which is admittedly pretty powerful. It gets you a long way in life.
Got him very far.
Yes.
Maybe he didn't take a good coin because he really doesn't respect his family all that much. And he knew he wasn't going to use it.
He does not want to return to them with anything of value.
Yeah, he's like, here, Dad, for your troubles.
This is what you're worth to me.
Happy Father's Day.
At least it wasn't, like, a tie.
Yeah, if I got my father fired and then gave him a penny...
I mean, his dad was a tailor, not a chicken farmer.
Yeah.
So, really, he just lost access to breakfast till he can obtain more chickens.
Maybe this coin pays for the chickens. We don't know.
How many chickens can you get with $30?
Well, it's $30 nowadays? US dollars now, and that's Probably partially because it's an antique coin.
With 30 US dollars, how good of a chicken?
How many eggs?
Per day?
At all.
At all?
Yeah.
You're looking at like $3 for a dozen eggs, so 120 eggs.
Oh, you're just buying the eggs straight up?
Yeah.
That's not And then how you incubate them. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you go to the supermarket.
That's a fleet of chickens.
Go. You know, why don't people just do that? They spend a lot of money on livestock. Just go to the supermarket and get eggs. They turn into chickens.
You idiots.
They can't stop you.
You dumb f***ing farmers.
Are they going to come around to your house and make sure that you ate them all? They can't do that. Beat the system. Think a little bit.
Why are you milking your cows? It's at the grocery. Just go buy milk.
It's right there.
You idiot.
Yeah, you can...
Ugh, farmers make me so mad. They spend all that effort on things you can buy at the grocery.
Oh, man. It's like...
Why are you cutting down wheat?
It's like they refuse to participate in society.
Go buy Honey Nut Cheerios.
It's better.
Better than wheat.
It's better. It's like, it's the thing you're gonna make, but it's got added sugar. Where are you gonna get that at home? You're never gonna know the magic of a Hostess snack cake on your farm. Nothing lays those. Nothing grows those.
Oh, if only.
where you get it? Yeah, if I had a chicken that would lay zebra cakes, then I'd start a poultry farm. That's not just not how the world works. What are you looking up?
I'm trying to find, like, how much a cruiser was worth on its own. Like, how many things could you buy with one?
Look, just go to Google and type in $1 in cruisers. That's what I do for every currency, and it works.
You do it. You have a phone.
How do you spell cruiser?
K-R-E-U. C-E-R. Ooh.
Sneaky Germans. You're going to have to spell it again. Hold on. In K R, nope, that's not the right button. K R E U Z E R, right? Yeah.
Yep.
$1 in cruisers. Oh, it doesn't like that one.
Yeah, I don't know how much Google keeps up with ancient currency exchange rates.
Bet somebody's done a PhD on this. How much was a cruiser worth? Did you read the Wikipedia page?
Yep.
Oh, okay, I won't do that. Coin value. What about Coin Quest? That looks like a collecting thing. And it's all coin websites. I don't care anymore.
And the rest of these just like list a billion other coins with weird names. And I don't... Just tell me how many chickens you can buy with a coin. We need a website that studies all the ancient coins and tells us how many chickens that would buy, because that would give me a real estimate of how much that currency was worth. Like, if peasants get paid so many schligets... per
schmeckles.
Yeah, so many schmeckles per field plowed. Like, how much house could they buy?
How many gooblerons before they own a quarfel?
Yeah. Well, how many schmeckles does it take to get a cow? You know, give me currency.
This sounds very much like a resource management simulator game. Like medieval peasant simulator where you have to plow fields to get money to upgrade your peasant tools in your peasant house.
I'm sure there are a billion versions of that in the Google Play Store.
Dang it. I'm just gonna make it and get rich.
Well,
dang it.
Do it in folklore terms and maybe you'll have a new angle on what's basically the same game that everybody plays all over the place. My mom would play it.
It's the way to do it nowadays.
I mean, there are hundreds of games about fulfilling people's orders at various food restaurants because...
Quickly.
Yeah. Because the thing food is, service, the game, really took off.
The thing is, you can do that for a real job. And you can get money for it. You don't have to simulate it. And, like, that's not even a hard one to do. Like, I bought Prison Architect. But that is a field that is beyond me. No one's going to hire me to do that. So I have to simulate.
I have watched my mother play for hours a game where you have to make different ice cream concoctions.
Hot dog stand.
Yep. Or burger places. There are a billion of these. Whatever food you can think of, someone has simulated you serving that to angry customers. So yeah, we need more historians. Give us like concrete websites that tell us how many chickens each currency is worth.
If any of you have studied history in this amount of detail, and you can tell us how much a cruiser was worth, then let us know. But we're spending a lot of time on this one point.
Yeah, we are. We need to move on.
Was I angry at the last one?
No, because the last one, like, he met up with robbers, right? Mm-hmm. The last one, he had a lot more agency. Like, he helped his dad
mm-hmm.
with the horse.
Right.
And then some people were like, we won't buy your freak son from you. And he's like, Dad, do it. It's going to be cool. I have a plan.
Don't worry, I'll come back. We'll be rich.
So Dad takes the money, and then he shows off his autonomy. When he meets up with robbers, he gets them caught.
Yeah.
Rather than gives them all of the king's treasury.
Can we just agree that it's been done better?
Yeah, the other Thumbling is the good twin. This is a lot of the same stuff happened. He got eaten by a cow and stuff, but he never dicked people over unless they were dicking other people over.
Am I right in remembering that in the other story, he steered an animal from the inside?
Yeah, a wolf.
Okay.
To its death.
I couldn't remember if we made that up, or if that was true.
What I'm saying is that this is the Shark Tale to the other one's Finding Nemo.
Yes.
And shouldn't exist.
You guys really wanted to hear this one.
Who's us?
Both of you.
Nuh-uh. Listeners decided.
Well, at the end of...
With a popular vote.
At the end of Thumbling, you guys were upset that we weren't going to immediately read Thumbling as journey.
Because it had so much promise.
I thought it was going to be a sequel. Like, a cool new adventure. I didn't think it was going to be the same one, but worse.
Fievel goes west.
Yeah. As opposed to...
The American Tale.
Isn't that the same movie? That's
no,
same those
franchise.
Are different.
That's right.
Same franchise. But this was instead...
Do you have those?
Schmeibel.
No.
You want to have Fievel?
Schmeibel?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Schmeibel.
Do they give him a name?
Thumb?
Is his name Thumbling?
Yeah, his name.
Or is that a nickname?
His name's Thumbling in both.
What's on his birth certificate?
Thumbling Little Taylor.
Okay.
Little is his middle name.
Thumbling so. Little Taylor Thomas.
Thumbling L. Taylor.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Why is this story worth writing down and remembering for this long?
It's not. That's the secret. Somebody read the other one and thought, what if he was like a dick, though?
What if this little guy was just like a huge asshole to everyone he met?
What if we made him a nasty boy?
There's one telling moment that we haven't really touched on.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, like, we know he's been an active asshole to people who have worked with him, otherwise been kind to him, or are just doing their jobs. But he tries out working.
And doesn't like it.
Legitimate jobs. Yeah. And he gives up on that.
Does he?
To go back to assholery.
To work in food service and spy on the maids.
That's after the robbery, though.
Right.
Yeah.
After the robbery, he tries his hand at legit fields.
I'd have more sympathy if he tried those first. Did he not get paid for those?
Apparently not. Mm. Unless it was just a meat, which apparently he craves. He did never make good on his Yelp review threat.
He never used that dumbass sword he was carrying everywhere.
That's true, too. It set us
for
a lot.
Forgot about that.
Like, what's he going to buy with that cruiser that's going to change the course of his life? What's this sword about that his dad gave him?
If he had gone out there, if he'd gone out, tried real work, had a hard time with it.
Turned to crime,
and then got eaten, been humiliated, and had learned his lesson, and came back to his father humbled, then we'd have a story with a moral.
Yes, you're right. If those things had happened... We would be in a different situation.
But that is not the story that was told.
No, no siree.
He had a sword while he was stuck in a sausage all winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have been able to cut himself out. or out of the cow.
What was he doing all winter?
Maybe it was good sausage, and he decided, since I'm here, I might as well just, like...
make myself a poop stew.
I mean, just be, like, a one-man human centipede on this sausage.
It was secretly his fetish this whole time, because this is a whole fetish porn story.
There's a lot of fetishes being catered to in this story.
It might have just been an exploration of, of the fetishes. You definitely got some vor going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is a story of those nasty, nasty thoughts you have. Like, I'm going to steal a king's whole treasury.
There's gigantism. I'm never gonna work. Because he's a very small man surrounded by very big people.
What was that?
Like, gigantism.
Mm-hmm. A fetish about a very, very little person.
Yeah, being that little person, surrounded by very big people.
Yeah.
Who can smush you.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. So right.
We got vor.
Yeah.
We got... I guess stewing in your own poop would be a subset of the general fecal fixation.
Yeah. Scat as food.
That's not real.
Oh, Gordy.
That's not real. People don't do that.
There's probably some foot stuff, right? He's down there.
he's in the neighborhood.
It's implied.
I think he's peeping and sniffing.
He's picking something off the feet. He's just taking little keepsakes, little treasures off people's feet as they walk by.
He'll carry more than one coin because his toenail collection is just so good.
Because of his fetish. His fetish.
Trophies?
Fetish trophy collection.
Also, we failed to mention that he was wearing a gimp suit the entire time.
Was he?
He was gagged by a ball.
There's probably a fetish.
Clad in leather and studs.
Hmm.
For flying, right?
Hmm?
It's probably like a weightless.
There's a fetish for everything.
Yeah. Everything's been sexualized.
Yeah.
So he starts there. So there's a lot of wish fulfillment in this.
Oh yeah, I forgot that he had bird bones. That never came up again.
Must have hurt when he was doing all that getting digested and getting made into sausage.
Yeah, you get the food being food thing, because that's...
Yeah.
Their whole website's dedicated to women with pineapples cut up on their backs.
Yeah.
Getting cooked, getting, like, smoked.
Yeah, alright.
Yeah, so this was a lot of fetish fulfillment snuck into...
In the guise of a story.
A quirky tale.
What we need is a face for this... For this connoisseur fetishist.
Uh-huh.
Who is it that can bring this character to life on the big screen? Because I think there is a perfect actor for this. I don't know who it is, but it's real. It's out there.
Well, Jack Black was my first thought.
My initial thought is Dean Winters. Yes, no. The what's does he do? Allstate now? He does those insurance commercials. He's Mayhem.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what kind of insurance it is. He's also Dennis Duffy on 30 Rock, which is a much better role. Thoughts?
Peter Stormare.
Huh?
Peter Stormare.
I have to see his face.
John Glasser.
I have to see his face.
Jeremy Jam from Parks and Rec.
That could be good. Tyler, what was yours?
Can I change it?
Yeah, but what was the first one?
Peter Stormare.
Okay, got it, and continue.
Dan Fogler.
Wait, what is this guy in that I know? Oh my gosh, you're sending me down a rabbit hole of looking up who's in what movie.
Dan Fogler looks... Yeah.
That's the guy. That's who we need.
Okay, tell me what Peter Stormare is in that I know, and I'm gonna look up your other dude, whose name might be Dan Fogler.
In fact, it is.
Okay, I got it right. Dan Fogler.
I mean, in his pictures, he looks like a nice guy. But also, I could see him looking real gross if he wanted to.
I don't know if I'm familiar enough with him to be able to say.
Who?
Dan Fogler.
I'm still on the
journey. You didn't see Balls of Fury?
I did not go see that one.
That seminal film?
I did miss that one. That's not one of the ones that I went to see in theaters.
I'm still riding the Jeremy Jam train.
These are all good possibilities.
We'll send
a few requests for audition out. We'll see who responds. Does this need anybody else? Are there any other crucial roles in this story? The dad? The one of the masters?
These are kind of vignettes, right?
I guess.
What if we did like the Bob Dylan movie?
where they all play him? Yeah, I like that idea. They can all take a run at Thumbling.
I mean, there are a lot of Thumbling and Tom Thumb stories, too, so it's not all just this guy.
Because we should probably get Dane Cook in there also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember that guy?
And just any other shitbirds we can think of.
Oh, Kevin James.
He's in there. He makes the cut.
Adam Sandler.
I don't know if I want to work with him again. It was a bad Sandler. Experience last time.
I've given him enough work over the years. Hey, Peter Stormare is in American Gods. So there's that. Yeah, I like that idea. I think we solved our problem.
Just dealing it?
Yep, dealing it.
Can we be done?
Yeah,
I want to be done with this man.
Let's put a nail in it.
I'm upset that we read this.
You're just hoping for another likable thumb guy?
Yeah, it's more that there was a lot of promise that it not only didn't meet, but destroyed.
I was just hoping for a good story.
Completely squandered.
You hope that every time, Gordy, and it never happens.
We should read something good next week.
Oh, no.
Those aren't the rules.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's not why we're here, I know. Well, is that it? Are we closing the book on this one?
Slam it shut. Crush that little man.
He's unkillable.
God damn it.
Okay. Well.
Anyone have announcements they need to make?
Thanks for listening so much on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We don't know what happened then, but you guys like just.
It's a big download day.
Yeah.
Blast it through.
You had a lot of free time, so. Thanks. Well spent.
We were thankful for that.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy these, you should hop over to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. It takes 30 seconds of your time and it helps us a lot, so go do that right now. Or tweet about the show. You can use our hashtag WTFolklore, or you can put whatever hashtags you want in there, really. It's up to you, but, you know, you can tweet about us, share an episode, that's always good. We have a blog on Blogspot, or whatever that is called now.
WTFolklorePodcast.blogspot.com.
That one.
Yes. Yes, no, these are going up on YouTube now.
Oh, yeah. I think they are. Yeah, I think we're going to start putting these on YouTube. I am not excited at the prospect of uploading back episodes to YouTube.
Still examining those options.
We'll see if anybody wants to listen on YouTube. So this one will go up on YouTube, and if you like it, then you can go there and listen to it and share that one around. If you really like these, you can go to our Patreon page, which is which order is it? Patreon.WTFolklore or the other way around?
It's patreon.com search bar WTFolklore.
Yeah, one of those. And obviously that's nice. Thank you to all of our current patrons and sponsors. You can get an episode dedicated to you. You can get some bonus content, which we're going to be working on shortly. What else we got? Is that everything?
By the time this episode goes live, there will be at least 3 blog posts that connect our first 3 episodes to the larger tapestry of folklore.
The mythos.
We are creating a mega tale through our blog. So if you have any stories that you feel will fit into the larger scope of Project Birdfall.
Thankfully, thumbling is not part of it.
Oh, we'll find a way. Please send us those. Gordy
don't,
has...
Don't you dare taint Boney with thumbling.
I don't think they're allies.
Definitely no, they don't not. Exist in the same universe.
Like, some of these tales are happening in the same universe.
Thumbling is not, Earth 2.
Not connected in
I'm
the
I'm calling
war.
It right now.
Gordy's...
Boney is Earth Prime.
Gordy's doing a YouTube series where he clicks on things in a video game way. You want to tell him about that?
Yeah, I'm doing a Let's Play series of Abduction, which is Scion World's spiritual successor to Mist and Riven. It's a really, really good game. I'm enjoying it a lot, and if you want to tune in and see how that's going, you can do that by searching for my name, which is Gordy Murphy, G-O-R-D-I-E, or the series name, which is Watch Me Click on Things on YouTube.
And I have started an Etsy shop, so if you're looking for some sweet, sweet Christmas swag or other holidays, whatever you celebrate swag, you can hop on to Etsy.com/CarmandaArtsThings and see some, like, foxes and folklore-inspired art, but mostly just cute animals or creepy things.
Maybe we'll start putting links to these in the show description.
We'll see. You two are in charge of that part.
That's gonna do it for us.
Okay, bye!
That's it. There's no more.
Thanks, Doug.
Get out of here.
You hit the end.
Thank you, everybody. This has been... What the Folklore, that's how it works.
Thanks,
thank,
Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug, for all you do.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.